Shabbat Shalom. Today's parsha is Parsha Pinchas, Numbers 25:10 through 30:1. As you might remember, Pinchas was the grandson of Aaron, who drove a spear through the defiant Israelite Zimri, son of Salu, and the Midianite woman Cozbi, daughter of Zur, who were openly fornicating in the camp and helped cause a plague. They weren't the only ones, but they were the worst ones of the two. And their death stopped the plague, which God sent as a punishment for their reckless behavior. This Torah portion describes God's covenant with Pinchas as a covenant of peace and an everlasting covenant of priesthood. Now, according to Rashi, who is a rabbi back in the medieval days, he's considered to be the father of all the commentaries on the Tanakh, or the Old Testament. He said this covenant was necessary because, unlike other priests, this is Levitical priests, who would receive their status as an inheritance, but Pinchas did not. Only those priests born after the anointing of Aaron and his sons could receive the inheritance. However, Pinchas, as someone born before his father, uncles, and grandfather, they were anointed, and he kind of fell between the cracks. So Aaron and his four sons were anointed as priests. All their descendants are priests from birth, and Pinchas was not born to be a priest since he was born before Eleazar was anointed. He was originally not included in the priesthood of his grandfather, father, and uncles. He became a priest in a very special way, by God's decree. So there were three ways to be a Levitical priest. One was given the priesthood by God himself. Five people were anointed as priests by God's command. And all other Levitical priests that ever existed or ever would exist were priests because they were born to a priest. It wasn't possible to be a priest if you were not born, except for Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and Eleazar, Itamar, and Pinchas. Now, all priests were Levites, but not all Levites were priests. Now, covenant of peace. It's interesting to note that the word peace, okay, is shalom. It is spelled shin, lamed, vav, and min. And if you look on your bulletin where it says Shabbat Shalom, you'll see how it's actually spelled. But in every instance of the word shalom, in a legitimate Torah scroll, it is spelled with a broken vav. It's only broken in the word shalom, only in the Torah. No other place in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, is it broken, only in the word shalom. Now, vav represents the number 6, and has long been associated as the number of a man, because man was created on the 6th day. Shalom means peace, and Yeshua is the Prince of Peace. Yeshua was a man who was broken for us. Now, I might add that Yeshua is still a man. He's going to always be a man, yet a resurrected one. Okay, he sits right now at the right hand of the Father as a man, okay, who intercedes for us. God commands that Moses and the people must continually harass the Midianites because they allured the Jewish people to sin. So from that point on, they were like the bad guys. So a second census was commanded at the border of Moab near Jericho. God instructs Moses and Eleazar, the priest, to conduct a census of all male Israelites over the age of 20, and thus eligible for military service. They do so, and the number comes to 601,730. In the first census, it was 603,550. So that's a difference of 1,820. All those people except Moses, Joshua, and Caleb in the first census are now dead, okay, at the time of the second census, because God told them that anybody over 20 would all die in that 40 years. this census is really important because God tells Moses that the size of each tribe's portion of the land in Canaan will be determined according to the male members of each tribe. You know, is counted according to the census.
Only the Levites were counted.
Only the Levites were counted separately. They were dedicated to the lifelong temple service, and so they didn't get any ownership of land. And they were also ineligible to serve in the military. Now the daughters of Zelophehad come before Moses with their fathers died in the wilderness, and he didn't have any sons. So what about them? What's their inheritance? Well, Moses has to inquire about to the Lord, and the Lord says, well, the women are right. You know, they should have an inheritance. So God provides Moses with the order of inheritance within a family. If this person wasn't around, you know, like there, if there was no uncle, if there was no brothers, you know, and on down to the daughters. And so Moses asked the Lord to appoint a leader, because he was, you know, brought up to the mount of Arabim and shown the promised land, which he would never enter. So God said, well, who's going to take over after I'm gone? So God designates Joshua, the son of Nun. And that was his father's name. It wasn't like he had no father, like, who's your father? Nun, you know. So that was his father's name. So Moses installs Joshua with God's authority in front of Eleazar and the whole community. So there's no question about who's in charge. So when they, you know, they couldn't squibble over it because it was already said and done. Now this parsha concludes with God instructing Moses yet again about the various festivals in the yearly cycle. The fall festivals, or the feasts, will be here in a couple months. It'll be here before we know it. And they're prophetic, and all three remain to be completely filled. Rosh Hashanah, you know, the Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets, could very well be that this is when Yeshua will come again at the last trump. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is the holiest day of the year. And you might ask yourself, so why do we need this Day of Atonement? You know, Yeshua paid everything. You know, he was the final sacrifice, you know, from the Lamb of the Passover. You know, so why do we need this? Well, there's always going to have to be a place of repentance to come to. You know, all the way through the millennium until Satan, sin, and death are destroyed. Then the third feast, Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. This will also be celebrated throughout the millennium and signifies that when Yeshua comes, he will tabernacle with men forever. Are you going to be there? Do you have a saving relationship with him? If you don't, you better make up your mind now because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So if you are born again, you know, Yeshua is your Savior, you'll be there and you'll be celebrating and tabernacling with the Savior. Shabbat Shalom.